recently I saw on a denominational church sign, it had an acronym that read PUSH, P-U-S-H, that stood for, right under it, it said, pray until something happens. And so my initial reaction is, well, what if nothing happens? What do you go then? Do you keep praying on and on and until something happens? Like you're forcing your will onto God and creating him to do something? Obviously, that's not the way we need to think about things. Not receiving a clear change in our life or having something happen, quote unquote, can still be an answer from God. That does happen. I'm sure many of us have had times in our lives where we've prayed about something and we do see a clear answer. We do see interaction with the world from God in the way we've asked. But that's not always the case. And I think this is also where a number of people tend to give up on God, is they can't see, they think they've received no answer, even when they might have already, and they're not understanding how God is interacting with the world today. I know where this idea comes from, because of all the times that even in my life that personally I've had prayer and had God directly interact with it and answer my prayers and giving me the things that I've asked for. But I've also prayed and not received things that I've asked for. And that's something that we need to understand and come to terms with. For our first passage tonight, I'd like to read Acts chapter 9, if you go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42. This is Peter going to raise Dorcas at Joppa, and this is the opposite of what I was just talking about. This is receiving the direct interaction with from God and answering the prayer. So we'll go ahead and read that now. Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So here we see Peter raised Tabitha from the dead with prayer. This is one type of the response that we receive. While maybe we not receive something so drastic in this day, God's response here is seemingly an immediate change to what Peter was dealing with. It was something directly happening to him. But you can also notice the timing of it. If the Lord wills something, it is done. We can and are invited to bring our concerns and hardships to him, but the Lord's will is ultimately done in all things and not our own. And when his will is done in that way, it can be even as instantaneous, even resurrection as this. He is merciful with providing us this opportunity to bring our concerns to him, to let all our wants be known, and all of this should be regarded as a gift and a sign of his benevolence for each and every one of us. To that point, we'll read Psalm 55, if you'd like to turn there now. Psalm 55, we'll be starting in verse 14. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. It is guaranteed that God will hear our prayers. He will provide us with exactly what we need when we need it. His justice is righteous and proven. You trust in the Lord always, and he will deliver you in his time and as needs arise. David speaks of this confidence that he has in the Lord of hearing his prayers, and he speaks about it a lot in the Psalms. That same confidence can and should be enjoyed by us. Not only is it a personal thing to do, but also to do as a congregation of Christians, like we do regularly, like we've done tonight and we do every time we meet. We have instruction in James chapter 5 on how we do that in our public worship and private lives too. James chapter 5, and we'll read that, verses 13 through 20, if you'd like to turn. James chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. We pray for sickness, whether that be spiritual or physical afflictions, even multiple times, as in verse 16, effectual or unceasing, as another word for it, fervent prayer or passionate. James makes the same point as I have just done in verses 17 and 18, with Elijah receiving the direct, exact response and immediate for his prayer. Whether received response or not, prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe one of Jesus' prayers before the crucifixion provides insight to the type of response or perhaps non-response that we can receive too. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at this place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Jesus prays against something he knows needs to be done, but prayed anyway, as it brought him concern. You could say that the angel appearing to him was a response, and I will grant you that that is true. It is more of a response than we might even receive. But certainly it wasn't direct, as such as the Lord speaking him. I think it's more than we might receive, but it is also less than what other people look for when they're praying to God. He brought his concern before God and acknowledged how God's perfect will was to be done above his own, and received comfort in trusting in God's perfect will. God's will was done with Jesus being crucified for the remission of our sins. And now, because of Jesus' understanding of God's indirect response to his prayer, and then even choosing to continue, knowing what he was to suffer and endure, we can go to God in prayer and have Jesus as our mediator in between us. We can and should bring our Lord all our concerns and worries, and to receive the comfort in trusting in his perfect will being done. And Jesus helps us with that, providing for us the way to cleanse for our sins, and by following his path and obeying the commands and mediating for us in between us and God. If you've yet to obey the call to all sinners, we have made ready to aid you and to pray for you, that the Lord's will of salvation through Jesus be realized again with you. And if you've been afflicted with the world, let it be known, so that your sins may be forgiven, as in James 5:15-16. And if the brethren here can provide any aid to you, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you've given us, for this time we can gather together, Father, to hear another message brought from your word. Father, we're thankful for this avenue of prayer that you've provided for us. Help us, Father, to always understand and to look for the answers that you give us, whether they're what we're wanting, but those things are in accordance with your will. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that are sick, that are suffering at this time. We earnestly pray for them, that you would return them to their better portion of the health. Father, we're mindful of those that are traveling, for our visitors that are here, Father, that will be traveling this evening and throughout the rest of this week. We pray for their safe journey back to their homes. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what you've given us here at Elliottsville, and the fellowship that we have with one another. Father, we pray that you would help us to continue in that fellowship here. Father, as we prepare to depart this evening, we ask for your guidance in our life, for your protection from those things that are around us. But most of all, Father, we're so thankful for your grace, for your love for us, that you would send your only Son to this world, that he would die that horrible sin, that horrible death on that cross. And we pray these things, Father, through his blessed name. Amen.